welcome to this week's episode of Roosters Radio, Roosters fans. And a great game against the Eels last week. Touch and go there for a little while, Silky. Coach Robinson said in the press conference, we lost our tackle and therefore lost momentum. I remember talking you through a similar period, and you run into trouble when that happens. But at 28-18, full-time score, Michael Jennings gets over the stripe. Angus Crichton scores. Connor Watson rushed into the New South Wales side. Lots of talking points from last week. Overall, a great game and some flair from the Roosters and maybe a bit of a down patch. But how did you see it?
Thought it was a great game of football. You know, there was two sin bins which had a great impact on the game. Obviously, it was a pretty unsavoury tackle, the one on Lindsay Collins. I thought he was lucky not to get marched, the back row from Parra. And then, of course, we scored a couple of tries. Young Junior Ponga obviously got over in the corner quite early. And then a couple of minutes later, Michael Jennings scored his first try in the Roosters jumper for, I dare say, the best part of 8 years, Bush. Eight years between tries or something like that. And he's going to be our guest on this week's show. So looking forward to speaking to him. We scored another try. I think Toops got his first.
He did.
And then Jared gets sin-binned just prior to halftime.
Wow, interesting the way the game is at the moment with what's happened recently with, you know, Joseph and everything else. I just, you know, you got to watch it frame by frame. Stills, as Robbo said in the presser.
His arms are up.
I know. And a lot of people that watch rugby league say, mate, that's why I've gone watching other sports because, you know, the game is changing too much. So, you know, we certainly don't want to be saying we're critiquing referees. We're just going to say we're going to critique the rules.
Well, I mean, Parramatta capitalised on it. They scored three unanswered tries then. And look, it was the game was in the balance. It was a great try, once again, from Daniel Tupu going down that left side. And then, uncharacteristically, I thought we pushed the pass. We panicked towards the dying minutes of the game where it was kind of like round-the-corner passes and a few panic plays. Like, we're making breaks, but we were in the lead. We didn't have to turn the ball over. I'd be interested to know what Coach Robinson said about that. But we found a way. There was a beautiful left-foot grubber from Sammy Walker. And Angus Crichton just slid over. And I love that little slide and pose into the camera. It was something for the ages.
It was very AC flow. I think a full-size poster down there at Bondi would look good. Just that last sort of blue steel he sort of put on the, you know, to coin a phrase from, you know, the great Olympian commentators, HG and Roy, sort of a quasi flat bags into a blue steel. So it was a real nice move.
But all in all, I thought it was a good performance. I know in the press conference, one of the questions for the journo said, congratulations, Robbo. You know, you won the game twice. And it felt that way because we were off to a flyer. I was a bit nervous at halftime, I got to say, because of the performance we put in against the Cowboys. It was 14-4 in that game. And I think we were in the queue at one stage. You were in the queue to get some hot chips and a meat pie, and I was in the one for the tab. But, you know.
But then, sad but true.
But then this week, you know, Jared was still in the bin. We were like, oh, God. And then they scored. So, yeah, it was some nervous moments for us Roosters fans.
I think in reflection, the Cowboys game was a bludger of a game for everyone. It was the unexpected. You know, you have those slumps in the year, and I think as Roosters fans, you know, we expected a bit more. I know the boys expected more, but I think it's one of those ones you just don't even watch the tape. You just get back to training and say, listen, bad day at the office. Come on. It happens to every team. Parramatta, like I will say that this will go down as one of the greatest blunder decisions from any board to get rid of their coach because they lost momentum. But I think under Trent Barrett, they say they still like him and they come to play. And they had Moses come back in a couple of weeks ago. They had Gutho come in and they're two super players, both really, if you consider it playing for Origin spot. So man on man, we were pretty much, you know, we were up for it. And I think our boy showed a bit of resilience. Junior Ponga, I think he showed in some clutch moments, you'd call him. You know, he took that ball when Mitch Moses kicked through. Great little run, made some big momentum, some big yards. Lindsay up front, there's so much to like about our performance.
I think, just on Junior Ponga, he's been a bit of an unsung hero. You know, he gets picked on the bench, goes into the centres. I don't think he's put a foot wrong all year. And, you know, it was only a couple of years back he was plying his trade for the Bears.
Yep.
And it almost gave it all away. But he's been a great pickup. And he's doing some great things. No doubt he'll continue in the first grade squad as it is at the moment, particularly with players on origin duty. Bush, I want to give a huge rap to Angus Crichton. The offloads.
Huge.
You know, the hit and spin. He was targeting Mitchell Moses too on that left edge. He had a storming game. He was the Nicky P recipient this week. I think Angus got the three, Lindsay two, and Luke Keary got the 1 point. But, like, he's just in amazing form. And Look, the rumours are he's close to re-signing, and we look forward to hearing that announcement sooner rather than later.
Absolutely, we do as Roosters fans, and we love him. And I'll say this, he's certainly in line at the leaderboard of the Jack Gibson Medal. The traditional owner of that is Teddy.
Well, he's only 2 points off now, yeah, Bush.
He is. And, mate, he's probably up there in the Nicky P's, I understand, as well. So I'll say this, Silky, you know, you talk about the resilience of the team and, you know, the performance of Angus and Junior Ponga, you know, sort of almost giving it away. Well, our special guest today, Michael Jennings, you know, what a great story he is. I can't wait to hear from him. We haven't met Michael yet. We started our journey in 2013, wanted to get him on our podcast, and just we couldn't fit him in. But in all seriousness, we can't wait to talk to Jenko today and talk about, you know, overcoming adversity, the way he's currently playing, and, you know, what he loves about this club.
You're on Roosters Radio. And when we come back, the man himself, Michael Jennings. Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very special guest for you right now. He's played 304 games, made 18 origin appearances, represented both Australia and Tonga. And last week, he bagged a try, first one in a long time as a red, white and blue star. Very warm Roosters Radio welcome, Michael Jennings. Jenko, welcome, mate.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me.
11 years ago, I rang the club and said, can we get an appointment with Michael Jennings? And it's turned up. We're so happy. So happy to have you. 2012, you're at the foot in the mountains. You're playing with the Penrith Panthers, a very strong club. You're making Ugbergs that popular. That's how good you're going. The decision to come to the Roosters, you know, how did that come about in that year?
So, yeah, I was kind of on the outer at Penrith. Gus was doing a clean out at down in the Riff, and I wasn't part of the plan. So, in the preseason, I just me and my manager just were shopping around, and it was out of Rabbitohs or Roosters. And I sat down with Madge. Madge was the coach then, and I had lunch and stuff with Madge, and told me he wanted me at Souths, and he was a great man. To, you know, I went to his house in Coogee, and we had lunch and had a good chat. But then I think a couple of days after that, Freddie calls me.
I pulled out the big guns, eh?
Yeah.
The old Penrith connection.
Yeah.
Well
just
done.
Just got
you.
A random call, yeah. I was just like, oh, who's this? And it was Freddie, and I was, he was pretty much spoke to me how good the club is, the lifestyle, where do I see myself playing my best footy? And at the time, we had Piercy and James Maloney, and I played with Piercy growing up. And I found that I'll get my best footy and best, like, early ball space with Piercy and Jimmy. So that kind of tipped me over to come over the Roosters. And then the team that they signed are like a few players that signed that year, Sonny, Jimmy, that side that year was something special.
I was going to ask you about that. It's special for us as Roosters fans. It's special for you as a player. And you've played in some special teams right across different clubs at State of Origin level with Tonga. Can you describe that year? You had an outstanding year. You scored the winning try in the grand final. It's well documented. How did it feel to play in a team like that?
Oh, it's just, I think being my first year, it was so good to be a part of a team that we're going to build a culture that is still here today. The standards that we set back then in 2013,
oh, wow,
and the culture that we built back then with Robbo, it's just so good to see that culture like live on until now. So
what is that winning culture you talk of that's still in place, and what's the secret?
Just that the high standard that each individual sets on the players. We have high standards here where no matter what player, all your ego needs to be left at the door. And, you need to live by those standards week in, week out. So doing that consistently, seeing that, and that's what I mean. It's just – and it's such a winning culture, and it's good just to see it still here.
Mate, how much – influence has Robbo had on that culture? Because 2013 was his first year. A lot of people probably forget in his debut year he wins the comp. And I suppose for the playing group it was sight unseen as well. He'd been over in France. What's he done for this club, Trent Robinson?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that started that rebuild, and then to set the standards here at Roosters. It's all Robbo. He's so hard I think, you know, like he's very hard and he's very detailed on everything that he does. And that's what makes him such a great coach, is that he's very detailed but also very hard. He's also a very caring person as well.
When we look back at that team, there's still a couple of your old teammates running around, like Jared, who you'll touch on, and old Toops on the wing. To think 11 years ago you won a comp and there's still blokes playing. We interviewed Junior a couple of weeks ago and we kind of had the same discussion, but the fact that, you know, blokes like yourself, Jared Warrior-Hargraves, Daniel Tupu are still playing at the highest level, I think that in itself is an achievement.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah, definitely an achievement. It's good as well. It shows you what kind of a club this is, that you got players that want to come back here and play, or you got players here that want to stick around as long as they can. So we're a very old team, if you think about that.
Experienced, I reckon, too.
Yeah. A very experienced team, yeah, yeah. But, you know, Toops and Jazza, they're still going. They're still killing it. They're still going well.
Yeah, and they're arguably in the top percentage in their position. Toops is doing the same aerial, you know, gymnastics he was doing 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's the best at it. If not the best, he's top three, right, on his
own. Oh, he's definitely – oh, I'll put him number one in the air easily. And his work ethic out of the backfield, man, it's unreal. And then, you know, you got that experience of Jazza in the middle. It's good to have old heads in and the experience on the field.
I think, Jenko, in 2013, we're pretty excited when you come to the Roosters. You know, we all saw at Penrith it was probably coming to, you know, a time where for you maybe a change was a good thing. But the way you applied yourself as a Rooster just won the hearts and minds of fans. You just said, mate, I don't care what jumper I'm wearing. This is how I play footy. And therefore, everyone got behind you doing that. And you talk about that winning culture. You inspired many, but what inspires you here, you know, now or back then? What inspires you about the place?
For me, moving and changing teams was probably one of the hardest things, because I didn't see myself playing for anyone else but Penrith, and then making that change was probably the best thing for me. It just opened my eyes to a whole different place, whole different world, and did my 3-year stint here, and I can honestly say that, yeah, I kind of found a home here. I found a home. The fans are great. I was chanting. It's funny because my kids now, they're always saying, Jennings, a Rooster. And my kids are saying that at home now, and it's pretty, wholesome. It's pretty good.
But I think as a Roosters fan, I think we saw the best of Michael Jennings, if I'm being honest. Across your career, you know, I think you played your best football.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Panthers, he was pretty electric.
Yeah, but he was younger then.
Hit your straps here, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah. I found a lot of success here. You know, I was played good footy for the Blues, and plus making the Oz team and stuff like that. I found a lot of success when I came to the Roosters.
Everyone in the club speaks so highly of you. You got the full support of the whole club. So is everyone who has any troubles or whatever. We all fall on troubles or hard times. What have you learned about, you know, the times you've gone through, the down times? There's plenty of good times and celebrations, but what have you learned about yourself, and what's your key to overcoming adversity?
My 3-year suspension was probably one of the toughest things that I've been through. Like, just mentally, it was like one of the hardest things I could go through. And I just remember, you know, I went and got some therapy and stuff like that. But the only way I could get out of those dark times was myself. You know, I could get help from everywhere else and find as I can talk to whoever I want. But then when you're in those lonely times, I think the only person that can get yourself out of it is yourself. So also my kids. I had my kids. That's basically my main motivation to come back and play and keep going and keep the body going is my kids. It's funny, you know, like, they don't know it, but they've saved my life. I think I've said it before. You know, if I didn't have my kids, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today talking to you guys. So I owe it all to my kids, and I think I'm just blessed now that I'm in this situation now. Yeah, you know, if I look back a year ago, I wouldn't even picture myself being here, talking to you guys, talking about football, or you know, having my kids come to footy training, like, it's just, it's so surreal.
Thank you so much for sharing that, mate. And you know what? It puts everything in perspective for everyone in the world. People go through hard times. If I started talking about what Silky's got up to in the past, mate, we'd all be, you know, having a laugh. But in all seriousness, it's such a powerful message that I think sends to everyone that there's always a way, there's a way. And then having that why and having your kids, it's really appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. You're spot on, is having your reason. And I had a big reason, and that was my kids.
Well, let's jump to it, mate, because 12 months ago, almost to the day, you're here probably having a beer in the grandstands watching the boys play. It was the 2013 reunion, and you kick on into town and you're having a drink with Robbo, and there's a conversation formed between yourself and Robbo. I think he's asked you, you know, what are your plans for the future? Do you mind just sharing a little bit? Because that was the start of you being in front of us here today, right? So
yeah.
I think for the fans would love to hear how that came about.
Well, it's funny because I was watching, the boys were playing Manly, and I remember sitting there and I was like, man, I envy these boys, man. I want to be on that field, and I want to have that feeling of winning a game and the feeling of being around the boys. And I just remember sitting there going, oh, you know, we'll see what happens. And then the next day we had a team brunch, kind of like a lunch, late lunch. With the boys.
And it was a piss up. Come on, Jenko.
We got a few questions around that too, Jenko. So thank you for being so eloquent.
Yeah, that was a
good old fashioned piss up. So
yeah, so it was a fair beer, fair few beers getting around. And Robbo, you know, just asked me, oh, what's my plans? You know, have you thought about going overseas? And I go, oh man, to be honest, I got no plans at the moment. Don't know what I'm doing. And he said, you know, he's got connections in France. If you want to go over and play in France, I go, oh, yeah, I'll see. But I'm just, at that time, I just didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't think about coming back and playing footy. I just, I wanted to get my life sorted first, or everything outside of footy. I wanted to try and clean all that up before I even think about playing footy. And Robbo goes, you know, said, what's your thoughts on coming back home to the Roosters? And I go, yeah, that I'd love that, you know, like if there's an opportunity. He goes, yeah, there's an opportunity. And I said, yeah, I'll take it with both hands. And then I said, oh, we'll talk in the morning when we're a bit sober.
Well, on that note, what's he like on the drink, our coach? A lot of our fans would like to know. He's always so composed and measured, but please tell us he's a bit of a punish on the drink, or a character. He's flicking someone's ear or...
Nah, no comment. No comment. No comment.
So fast forward to 2024. You haven't laced a boot in 4 years, basically.
Yeah.
You turn up, there's a new head of peak performance, and every one of the players that we've interviewed this year has talked about how tough preseason was this year. You're on a training trial, I think it's 8 weeks. I believe you're about 10 or 12 kilos heavier than the Michael Jennings that's standing in front of us now. What was that like, mate? Because I can just imagine how brutal it'd be, particularly since you're just out of sync with it all.
Yeah. I think being 3 years out and being 12 kilos overweight was physically one of the hardest things. I think that was the hardest preseason that I've ever been through. That's like taking the factor that, you know, my age, being 12 kilos heavier. So that, for me, that was the hardest preseason. But all the other, like you said, all the other boys said that was one of the hardest preseasons. And I'll tell you what, it definitely was. I had so much to gain, from doing this. So I had no complaints. I loved every minute of like the preseason, because it's just, I had 3 years out. Like, it was tough, like very tough, but, I didn't really complain too much, and I enjoyed every bit of it.
Part of it is the mental game, right? Because you could have tapped out and quit and just said, I'll go back to driving trucks with my brother, right? But
I think there was a few moments where I was about to tap out. When we're running the hills, I kept saying, oh, Robbo, I think this is me. I'm done. But whilst, you know, when I was playing 3 years back, you kind of, I think a lot of players are guilty of this, of taking it for granted, because we are, as athletes, we're so blessed. We get to, you know, we get I was just talking to our physio. I go, we're so blessed. We've got physios. We got food. We get lunch provided. You know, we do a couple of hours of training. You stay fit. And, you know, you get a day off. You get massages. Like,
play the game you love.
And, yeah, play the game you love. And then you're shown on TV and, you know, you're loved by a lot of – yeah, you're loved by, you know, a lot of people. And it's some people, like, and I was guilty of it as well, is that you do kind of take it for granted. And I think the good thing now for me is that I can see that, and I've just right now just appreciating every little moment here that I have at training.
Every player in the field has a different position and a different role. Yours was scoring tries, and you know, last couple of weeks you get over the stripe. That must have been special for you, special for the kids and the family and everything else as well, I imagine.
Yeah, no, it's always good to get a bag of try, but it was more getting my body up to standard, because I haven't really had a good kind of preparation, or, you know, I've been 18th man a couple of times and just been dragged into the team last minute. So I think coming into this week against Parramatta, I had a full week of prep where I could actually get my mind wrapped around playing, and did that full week of prep, and then just felt really good going into the game. For once, felt really good, wasn't so sore, and just felt good. But
you touched on the 18th man. I think it was against the Bulldogs where you were 18th man. You came back on. It must have been quite surreal to – because, I mean, at 18th man, you more or less resigned to not playing, right? Then you get the tap on the shoulder, mate. You get on there.
Yeah.
The fact that you're back playing first grade, what was that feeling like? It must have been quite emotional for yourself to actually, you know, you're back on the big stage.
Yeah, I think the boys call me the 18th man curse, because every time I'm 18th man, someone's going down and getting injured. So, yeah, Robbo, don't put me 18th man anymore. We don't want any more injuries. Yeah, when I was 18th man for the that time playing at Doggies, it didn't hit me until, like, I was warming up and I was like, oh, you know, I'm about to play, like, I got to get the body right, you know, I was just stretching up. And then it didn't hit me until the side official says to me, mate, good luck, I'm so happy that you're back, and, like, good to see that you've made it. And I was just that moment with that side official, that was it just kind of hit me that, oh, you know what, like, I did this for the people that I let down in life for the past 3 years, is the other people that I'm representing. And it just kind of hit me there, and I was like, I'm about to play first grade. And then I just remember looking up the sky, and I was just like, yeah, just enjoy this moment. And then, yeah.
Well, then the following week, it's your 300th game, a milestone game. You're so close. You know, you're at 298. You probably thought you never would have achieved that milestone. 51st player to ever do it, and I'm assuming we haven't got Dave Middleton here, but the first of Tongan heritage to do that. So that's another first for your family to be proud of. And there's some great support at that game too. What was it like to run on for the 300th?
That's probably something that I'll cherish for a long time. Just to walk out with my kids.
Yep.
That was a very special moment, yeah. And I think my whole, like, mind process when I was, like, coming back to play, or, like, me thinking, like, having a visual of me playing, it wasn't actual a visual of playing. It was having a vision of me walking out with my kids, or the kids coming out onto the field and just giving me a hug. And that was the moment that, it's really hard to explain. It's just such a special moment that I could cherish. And I'm glad that I could do it with my family around.
Yeah, at the end of the game, and then the players all got around you. That was a real magic moment, if I don't want to say, from a fan's perspective, and for you and the people that support you.
Yeah, yeah. That's really all that I wanted, was my family. My family, my kids, and plus the boys that, you know, really pushed me during the preseason to helped me get to where I am now.
Jenko, representative career, you know, it's well documented, you know, everything from Prime Minister's 13, Tonga, City Origin, New South Wales, Australia, and of course the NRL All-Star Game, and they're all different, but they're still representative games. I want to just zoom in, it's very topical at the moment. Origin, your first Origin, what is it like, you know, as a player, as a Rooster, to get that call that you're going to play Origin, then what's it like to play Origin?
Yeah, I think getting that call, you just, I think you straight away, you just, your nerves, you got nerves straight away. You're just like, oh, about to play on a big stage against like some, like grown men that have been playing the game and they're so good, they're such good players. And then just the whole week, the build up is just, it's unreal. Yeah. Like back then, just the build up was, you're building up so much hate for a state. And then when you actually get out there, it's just like, you just, yeah, you got these, the feelings is, you can't really explain it, but, my actual first game, I, tear my calf. So then I played the whole game with a torn calf and, played all right, but, after that game, I missed 6 weeks. So then I missed the whole second game. Yeah, then the third. Oh, then come back and played the third game, and we won that one. But yeah, I think just the whole week building up to Origin is that's the special thing.
The great Arthur Beetson, our greatest Rooster ever, showed what he felt of his fellow teammates when he bashed Mick Cronin in the first Origin, playing for his home state of Queensland. Is it like that with you? I mean, you got other Roosters that you know you're playing with and against. Everything goes out the window, yeah?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, someone that you're so close to that, you know, 2 weeks earlier, you're doing weights and dancing with in the gym.
Yeah,
you want to, you know, smash them.
No, it's right. It's a funny story. I don't know if you've seen the Superman punch that I've done in in Origin, and I hit Brent Tate. In the
big
head.
Target.
Yeah,
big target.
So funny story. That after that incident, then we go into Oz camp, and he's in the team as well. And then they call them the emus that will back up players, and the emus usually always go out and have a few beers because they're not playing. So, and me and Tatey were. We were always out and having a beer, but I remember him saying to me, for someone that punched me in the back of the head, mate, you're actually all right, guy.
Mate, playing for Australia, you know, growing up in Blacktown, coming through, you know, Penrith and coming to the Roosters, but you get to represent Australia, must be proud of that, but you also must be equally proud of representing and the powerhouse that Tonga has become.
Yeah, I think when you first play – yeah, coming through the ranks, you always want to play at the highest pinnacle in Australia and playing state, for your state. I think that's a, you know, great achievement. But I think when you represent your heritage and where your family and your ancestors, I think that's such a powerful thing.
Spiritual eye.
Very touching. Yeah. I think it was 2019. We were the first team to beat the Oz in a test match, which was also
there was a game in New Zealand, right?
Yeah,
and the crowd were going mental over there. I remember the game.
Yeah,
but there was a big lead up too, if you recall. Like,
yeah,
I mean, all of New Zealand got behind you. They wanted to see the Aussies win. But I remember that game. It was a daytime game when you just won. Fifita had a blinder.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember the game clearly.
Yeah, it was at Eden Park.
Yeah,
and we call our fans the Red Sea because it's just the whole stadium's just full of red. Yeah. And the hymns and the songs that they sing, like you get goosebumps and just the feeling. You just you grow an extra leg, like. When you hear that and when you see your fans cheering for you like that, and then to actually win it and beat Australia first time was something very special.
Unbelievably special. What happens when you step off the plane in Tonga? Are you just mobbed? The boys have become like rock stars. And yeah, then they are. If you play for Tonga, you're a rock star in Tonga,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so they – each because it's each family, they set up a float. So it's like, a float where it's for us, it's like a big truck, and then they have on the back of the truck, and then they decorate it.
They throw you in the back.
And then each family does that for each of the players, and then they just do a whole parade of the whole of Tonga and just drive around, and just you see all the people that just come out to cheer the Tonga team.
Is it the national sport over there?
No. I think
rugby's still number one.
Rugby's still number one.
Now, we're going to change gears a bit now because we've got a few questions. It's called the Set of Six with Jenko, and these questions have been vetted and they come by the fans. So I'm going to throw a couple your way. Jenko, favourite try in your career?
The grand final, easy. Yeah.
Couldn't agree
2013,
more.
2013, yeah.
Who has been the hardest person to tackle?
Greg Inglis.
How's the body feeling?
Sore at the moment. Yeah.
Who was the strongest in the team?
Bobby. Young Bobby.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Toya. Yeah.
You have much to do with him because I know he's a centre coming through. There's big raps on him. Is he kind of a young kid that you kind of try to mentor and bring along?
Yeah. I mean, because I've been in the rehab group for a couple of times and yeah, because we're similar kind of built as well. He's obviously stronger than me, but obviously, yeah, we have our chats, we talk, and definitely helping him out on the field. It's more about just getting confidence into him because he's just had
a few setbacks.
So yeah, hopefully you see him back on the field soon.
Now, mate, what player was your greatest inspiration growing up? Who was the one you looked up to the most?
Favorite player? I didn't really watch footy when I was younger.
Really?
I didn't really watch footy. A friend of mine that lived a couple of doors down told me about footy because I had no clue what league was. told me to come try out for his team or come play. And so he took me to this, I think, well, 8 or 9 or yeah, about 8 or 9. Took me to down the park at Habersham Park down in Habbo. Oh, like Mount Druitt, sorry. Played my first game. I think I scored about 5 tries. So they're like, yeah, you made the team.
Makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. The rest is history, I guess, from there.
I guess as a young player, I mean, thinking back to that era, it would have been what, early 2000s? There was like Ryan Girdler was a centre. I would dare say you're growing up, you would have been a Penrith fan, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't really. I was a Canberra fan.
Canberra, were you?
Yeah. I was a Canberra. Me and my brother were both Canberra fans because our dad got us the Super League Canberra jerseys. And like, we didn't know at the time what team it was until. And Laurie Daly was a player that I liked. I really liked Laurie Daly. But when they had Mal Meninga, like the team that they had back then, like it was just, yeah. I think that's the reason why I went for them because they're winning. So.
And last one, mate, it's a good one. What's your favourite cheat meal?
Favourite cheat meal? Cookies.
Cookies, yeah. They would have been few and far between them in that preseason.
You've missed a few because you've dropped 12, so.
Cookies. My son tells me all the time.
Mate, comparing this team that you're playing with at the moment and, you know, that successful team in 2013, do you see any similarities? They seem to be on a similar trajectory. I know we had a good win against Para last week. Are there any similarities between the team at the moment and what you had when you talked earlier about that great side back then?
There's definitely glimpses of similarity between that 2013 and this team, but I guess just the flair that some of these players have and I think me being older, just watch, like, sit. I'm just sitting back, enjoying every moment and seeing the quality that this team and the players that I'm playing with. I'm just like, man, and like, I'm sitting back in awe, like, damn, I'm actually playing, you know, with Teddy. And these are the players that I was watching a year ago down at the pub, just envying them, like, oh, man, I wish I could play with them. Just envying their talents. And then I'm actually, you know, in the same room as them and training with them, which is, yeah, it's just crazy how things can just turn out. But there's definitely similarities. I see the high standards that these boys hold and the hard work and, yeah, and how hard Robbo is on the boys. I think we're on a very good path this year, and I think the boys are just going to keep getting better and better.
When you look back on your career, it's fast forward 5 to 10 years. What will you be most proud of?
Just not giving up. Yeah, I think I had 3 years out where I just, every day I just wanted to give up. Getting to this point and just not giving up on my kids, giving them something to look up to and be proud of. And I'm just, this is definitely, me making a comeback was definitely the most proudest moment.
Well, mate, we're super proud to have you in here. It's taken us 11 years to get you into this podcast, and you know what? It's inspirational on many different levels, you know. 36 years of age, playing first grade. I mean, you know, we've all got history in this club. We wanted to play one game. You've played over 300. And as fans, you know, the Roosters fans, we want to get to know our players, and we've learned so much about you today, and we just hope that your great form and inspiration will continue into the future, and we know it will. It's a great legacy you leave for not just other players like Robert Toyer and stuff, but the fans. So thank you so much for spending time on Roosters Radio and sharing your stories.
Definitely, Mike, I want to thank the fans for giving my kids a bit of joy. They come home and saying Jennings is a Rooster and just stuff like that. Like, yeah, just I'm very blessed and thanks.
Let's give the kids a quick shout out, eh?
So to my kids, you know, like I just say, you guys saved me. So that's,
what are their names?
Carter and Ivy. Yeah.
Well said, mate. Thank you so much.
Good on too
you,
easy.
Thank you. Yeah, right. Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And Bush, a really great chat, I got to say. You know, you spoke earlier in the show. We've never met Michael Jennings until today. A great conversation. It was inspiring, if I may say.
Mate, we always do our research. We try to get, as we say, behind the steed and find out who the man is. And everyone around the club, including the great Bobby Jones, is a big listener of this podcast, had just given Michael a massive rap. And it's funny, you see things in the paper, you read the news. If you do, I don't, but they've got an opinion. But until you actually meet someone, you can't judge them. And after meeting Michael Jennings, I'm happy to say I call him someone who I'd love to see as a friend, because what a great story, how inspiring it is, what a great, you know, legacy or inspiration, whichever way you put it, but just real, authentic and raw, and what a great man.
Couldn't agree more, Bush. Now, Bush, before we talk all things football, just want to give a shout-out to two of our Roosters favourites here, in CEO Joe Kelly, who will be raising money sleeping rough this week as part of the CEO sleep out. But the one that we're looking forward to, Bush, Chris Bennett's, Benno's as he's affectionately known around here, part of the media team here at the Roosters as well, mate. He's lacing up the gloves as part of the executive fighter fight night, raising money for the Children's Cancer Institute. He's on debut. He's fighting a big young, strapping gentleman from out west, I believe. We'll be going out there to support him. There's quite a few Roosters. Also, his partner, Kate, is fighting on the night as well. There's a few NRL former players. I think Chris Hyington is one. Paddy Richards is another. Kyle Stanley also. So there's a few former NRL greats.
Some heavyweights.
Yeah, who will be putting the gloves on. But we're there to cheer on our man Benno's and raise some money, both him and Joe, raising money for their respective charities, and wish them all the best in their endeavours this weekend. But Bush, football.
Well, let's just give a shout out to Connor Watson straight off the bat, mate. Yep. Congratulations on New South Wales selection, Connor, on behalf of all the fans of Roosters Radio. We predicted it here, and I think he's a massive, massive addition to that team.
Couldn't agree more, Bush. In fact, wish all our Roosters players the very best down there in Melbourne next Wednesday night. But before that kickoff, there is a game of football that we have to play this weekend. Roosters taking on an informed Bulldogs up there. It's our home game up there on the Central Coast. We know we've got quite the following up there now, thanks to our Central Coast Roosters and the great work that we've done with the Wyong Roos in the past. And it's been a great breeding ground for our young Rooster players, Sandon Smith, Blake Steed played a bit of football there. Obviously, Connor Watson's a Central Coastie as well.
Absolutely.
So expecting a big crowd there. How do you see it?
Yeah, Silky, going to be tough. The Dogs, obviously beat us, earlier on in the season, and we were, it was a tough night for the Roosters faithful, but probably one of our better nights. It was a night that, we got down, to a few men, and the boys really, really stood up as a team. Everyone will remember that game in the wet, but I think, we're showing the type of depth we have in our squad. We have to beat the Dogs this week to be a top four team. They're very, very good. They've got the best defence this week. It's been noted they've got the best defence in the competition. So going up there to the Central Coast, great for our fans up there. But my prediction is Roosters 18, Dogs 12.
Well, it was 5:30 Saturday afternoon. Cherry ripe conditions there at Industry Group Stadium. Plenty of Roosters support. We're down five players, so it's that next man up policy. We'll, the sides aren't out yet, but I'm expecting Siwa Wong, Satili Tupanua, probably Blake Steep will get another opportunity as well. So plenty of young players ready to bare their teeth and take on the Dogs. It's going to be a very tough contest, particularly through the middle. So bearing that all in mind, I'm going to say Roosters 16, Bulldogs 10.
This week's uni bet of the round is Sam Walker anytime, Silky. Sam Walker anytime. After those little short kicking and passing games, it's time he gets over the stripe for the fans.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Roosters Radio. We'd like to thank our very special guest, the one and only Michael Jennings. You've been listening to Roosters Radio.
East to win. It's not